It's time for today's Artery segment when we talk to Boston artists, critics, curators, and directors about an event that excites them. And joining us now is a Radio Boston regular, Boston Globe Arts reporter Jeff Edgers. Hey, Jeff.
How you doing, Anthony?
Good. You're here to talk about the Big Apple Circus, now at the City Hall Plaza until May 12th. What do you like about this show?
Well, what I love about the Big Apple Circus is it's become like a tradition in our family to go. It's sort of the antidote to the huge, giant, you know, arena-styled circus that I grew up with and that, frankly, kind of scared me when I was a little kid.
Yeah, I think when most of us think about the circus, they think about the Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus, big tent, three-ring affair. But the Big Apple Circus, what, a little homegrown, a little more cozy? Tell us more about it.
Well, what you're getting is a circus that relies on sort of the European model of circus, which means nothing to anybody. But to me, it means, you know, it's not
except
about
to
having
Europeans.
Like,
it means something
yeah,
to Europeans.
Yeah, you know, jugglers in, I don't know, Budapest. So the thing about this circus is it's very homegrown. It's very small, compact. You know, you got like 17,000 seats in the garden. This is about 1,700 seats. It relies really on, you know, sort of skilled acrobatics, stuff you can see close up. There are animals, but, you know, they have like a dog show. You know, they have horses, but it's not about like 35 huge elephants putting their feet on each other's backs and going around the garden to this crazy laser show.
Right.
So, you know, my kid's always been scared of the Wizard of Oz. That's what I think of when I think of Ringling Brothers. The Big Apple, I think it's more like something you might see in, like, you know, thrown up in a field somewhere. I mean, these people are super talented, and you're right in on the action.
And this is, just to be clear, a one-ring circus, which is something of a rarity these days. And we've got a little bit of tape. Here's a little piece about the Big Apple's setup from a PBS special on the circus. Let's listen.
This is very traditional circus. They've got the dirt with sawdust, which a lot of circuses don't have that anymore.
There's something about traveling entertainment that's very American. There's a fragility to it. There's this sense of here today, gone tomorrow. Nothing left but wagon tracks and peanut sacks when the circus leaves town.
So something of an antidote to our frenetic entertainment culture, it sounds like.
Yeah, it really is. And you still have the death-defying wire act and wonderful acrobats. But, you know, you have these little dogs running around doing things. It's great fun.
I want to ask you about the animals because some people, I'm among them, don't like the way animals get treated in traditional circuses. But you've mentioned the animals a couple of times here. This is something a little bit different, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes. But for whatever reason, maybe it's the awareness that PETA's brought out, but there's something about the size of the Big Apple Circus, the fact that they don't tour all over the place. They're only in a few different places. And, you know, when you see Jenny Vidbell with her perky pups, you know, you feel like those dogs are happy. I mean, maybe I'm naive, you know? Maybe they aren't happy. Maybe they don't like performing tricks, but it just doesn't feel the same.
Sure. No, I understand. Now let's talk a little bit about the history of the circus. Paul Binder and Michael Christensen started it in the 1970s after meeting in a San Francisco mime troupe, I understand. And again, we have another clip from a PBS special where co-founder Paul Binder talks about the early days.
We had no intention of being in a circus, but nothing else felt like home. I'm not suggesting, by the way, that this was a simple path. Hardly. I'm standing on the edge of the Bosphorus weeping that madness lies on the other side of the water. You know, I mean, it wasn't easy. It was filled with, you know, terrifying moments and fears and, you know, middle of the night sleeping in a tent in a pouring rain, wondering what I was doing with my life.
And Jeff, I read that these guys learned how to juggle and made a living as street performers in Europe, passing objects to each other and bantering in broken French. Do you sort of see that spirit in today's Big Apple Circus?
You absolutely do. I mean, it's the work with the clowns and the sort of like, you know, kind of like Keystone Cops-ish approach. It comes through in the humor and the interaction with the crowd. And it's a lot easier to interact with the crowd because the crowd's right on top of them. you really feel that sense of comic timing, and that's how they draw a lot of people in. And, you know, I wish we had more European circuses and we understood, but, you know, we just had this great show, Pippin in Town, that's opening on Broadway this week, and we saw that kind of model for circus performance brought onto, you know, the stage in that way. So I think people, you go there and you'll connect. You know, it doesn't really matter how old you are, you'll kind of get it.
And the cast of performers, it reads like a UN list, a contortionist from Argentina, an all-female acrobatic troupe from China, juggling tango dancers from France. What's your favorite act?
You know, I got to say, like, Grandma Clown, who retired a couple of years ago, real name was Barry, I think, was a great attraction.
Wait a minute. Grandma Clown, his name was really Barry. Did I hear you right?
Yeah, I can give it away now because, you know, I mean, it was kind of obvious at the time, too. You know, but most of these folks that I was talking about, I mean, this woman who has the horses and the pups. And, you know, one thing I just want to mention as a music geek is, you know, there's actually a live group playing there. You know, this is not like pumped in music, which is pretty cool. And, you know, like all great things that begin with a couple mimes meeting in San Francisco, this really is, you know, one of those things where even if you don't really connect with one act, they're out of the ring and you've got the next one coming in. But, I love it all.
And finally, I want to ask you about this. You have sort of a special connection to this circus because, if I have it right, you taught a class. Is that right? About the Big Apple Circus?
Yes. I mean, I don't know. I have a feeling the American Heritage Foundation is going to crack down on Tufts University pretty quickly when they hear this. But it was a long time ago now. And I did teach a class at Tufts University. For credit, at the Experimental College on the circus. And it required my learning how to juggle.
No kidding.
And yeah, I felt like I needed to understand the life.
Yeah. And what about your students? What did it require of them?
You know what? They just had to write cogent papers on things like the flying Willendas.
All right. Jeff Edgers, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
That's Jeff Edgers. He's an arts reporter at the Boston Globe. You can find the Big Apple Circus at City Hall Plaza now through May 12th. And on our Facebook page, you can find a time-lapse video of the circus setting up their tent. That's facebook.com/Radio Boston.
Well, that's it for today. The Radio Boston Circus is produced by Jessica Alpert, Amory Sievertson, Dina Rosendorf, and Alex Kingsbury.
Our interns are Darian Garay and Ava Aguado.
Tim Skog is our technical director with able assistance from James Francis Trout.
And the executive producer of the Big Boston Circus is Mark Navin.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us tomorrow again for more Radio Boston.